Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston this morning. It's a little chilly outside, but we got the heat going in here now. It's kind of good. We've got a couple of announcements today. Here comes our pastor for the day. He's going to share a sermon with us. That's beautiful. We have a couple of we have a meeting, annual meeting coming up afterwards. It's at 11:30. It's our annual meeting, so hopefully you can all hang around for that. You all have your reports done and you're all ready. I know there was a couple other things coming up. Does anybody have anything they would like to go first?
I do.
You do?
Unlike last year, we will have a new directory probably in February this year. But I just found out today that somebody has canceled their landline, so they're only using cell phone lines. And if you've done that, you need to tell me. If your kids have moved out and they now have a different address, you need to tell me. Or if they've moved back home again, you know, you need to tell me. Okay, I've already started working on it, so get your information to me.
Got to be more because I know that there is a movie night coming up. That's January 29th at 4. The movie Running the Bases. That's a cool little movie to watch. And I'm told there's going to be a lot of popcorn and candy and stuff like that there, so that's kind of cool. Men and Boys Pizza and Bowling. Anybody like to do some splaining on that?
Sure.
Okay.
That's an event that the CE Board is organizing, and it will be after church on, I think it's February 5th. There will be pizza and then bowling over at Thomaston Lanes, and it's for men and boys, and so if you're a grandpa, you want to bring your grandsons, or a dad, or an uncle, we have a real good turnout.
Okay. Women's Ministries has a few things here. You're good? You're good.
It's too many to cover.
There's a Valentine's Day chocolate party. You wanna, that's on the 11th. What? Yep. And then there's the mother-daughter retreat coming up. And I know you probably have to sign up for that and be prepared. But that is February 24th up at Pilgrim Pines. Does anybody have anything else they would, Lori? Okay.
It's big. It's big and it's heavy.
Okay.
We just need some land to help pull the tree apart. It's in the music room
right now. Okay. But that's nothing. Got to do it right away. It's just something that needs to get done.
No, just whenever anybody has time.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to share with us this morning?
Here, I have some.
You?
Oh, so, no, I don't need that.
You don't
so
need that.
January 31st over at Above Crabby Owls, there's a, it's going to be a worship night from 7 to 9. It's like an art gallery over there, and they have Christian music on Tuesday nights. So it's going to be an outreach for the worship team, and we're also giving anything that comes through the door donations to Acts 4. So if you want to come, it's an evening. We're going to be playing music for about 2 hours. January 31st, don't ask Gary what the date is, but January 31st at 7 to 9.
It's a Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, yeah.
Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let us now stand for our introit, number 146, Joy to the World.
And nature sing.
O God of Abraham and Sarah, you have led your people in the past. Lead us now.
Grant us the courage of Ruth to leave behind the old and familiar, the courage of Noah to risk laughter and scorn, the hope of Jeremiah to invest in the future, and the unselfishness of Esther to take risks on behalf of others.
For the words of your prophets, we have learned justice and mercy.
Help us to say with Isaiah, "Here am I, send me."
O God of James and John and Mary Magdalene, you have called us to follow Jesus.
Teach us how to work together, sharing responsibility and offering encouragement.
O God of Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, who risked their lives for the sake of the growing of your church, fill us with enthusiasm for your church.
Use us to spread the gospel, to build up one another in faith, to join together in fellowship and in ministry to the whole world.
O God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself in love for the whole world, teach us so to love.
Grant us the Spirit of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve.
Good morning. Today we begin in the book of Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. It is found on page 555 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warrior and all the garments rolled in the blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our second reading is found in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, page 835 in your pew Bible. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressors go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The precious love of Jesus pouring out. from the grave, victorious, hallelujah, he's alive. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, oh, the fount of grace divine, flowing as a mighty river, washing sinners in his tide. There will never be another in whose name we are redeemed. Oh, the precious love of Jesus pouring out for you and me.
Thank you for that beautiful song, wonderful reminder. Let's just pray before I begin. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing, oh Lord, my rock and my salvation. Well, back in December, like probably some of you do, I was scrolling through my Instagram feed, and I came across a video that really made a big impression on me. And perhaps you saw it on the internet as well. It was a little clip of NBA coach Joe Mazzulla of the Boston Celtics. And he answered questions during a press conference following a victory against the Miami Heat on November 30. One reporter asked him about the presence of Prince William and Princess Kate Middleton of Wales at the game. Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, what was it like having them there in the building? The reporter asked. And Mazzulla answers, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? The reporter laughed awkwardly and responded, well, no, the Prince and Princess of Wales. Mazzulla then said, oh, I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one, but hopefully they're Celtics fans. Mazzulla is a devout Catholic and a husband and a father of two children. According to this report, he is a focused man of faith. This video reportedly went viral across many platforms. In a very public moment, Coach Mazzulla shared his faith in a winsome and direct way. Using the familiarity of the Holy Family, he connected with millions of people. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, he planted seeds that day. Well, I began thinking about this message that I'm giving today, right after Christmas. The timing of our Christmas program on New Year's Day allowed me to just linger a little longer on the nativity story and really soak in the message of Christ's birth. this season, this time between Christmas and Lent, is sometimes, in some liturgical settings, referred to as ordinary time. Well, I don't really see it that way, because in the Gospels, the time after Jesus' birth and leading up to Lent is when Jesus' ministry is just starting to really ramp up. The good news of the salvation message begins humbly in Matthew and Luke, as they both tell the story of Christ's birth. It's interesting, however, that the birth of Christ is only depicted in these two books. The Gospel of Mark begins with John the Baptist preparing the way for Messiah. And the Gospel of John begins with the first few verses echoing Genesis, saying, "In the beginning." John goes on to say in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In their own unique way, each gospel begins to tell the greatest story known to mankind. Each gospel, in turn, ends uniquely. Matthew and Mark with the Great Commission, Luke with the promise of the Holy Spirit, and John ends with Peter being reinstated by Jesus. In the first chapter of John, Jesus tells Peter that he has a new name, which means rock, and it is on that rock that Christ will build his church. Scripture is very clear that Peter was flawed, and yet the good news for us is that no matter how far we fall, how weak we are in our faith, how difficult our circumstances may be, God can use us for his purpose and his glory. Sometimes it's easy to bookend Jesus' life with his birth and his death, missing the entire scope of his ministry, resurrection and ascension into heaven. But it is in this in-between time, between his birth and ascension, that we really get to know who Jesus is. When we encounter Jesus, whether it's for the first time or whether we have been walking with him for years, we will most likely experience this come and see, now go and tell phenomenon. We will look at this in a little more depth as we dig into three unique stories in the Gospels. But come and see isn't just limited to the New Testament. In fact, in Psalm 46, verses 8 through 10, we read, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the amazing things he has done on the earth. He stops wars everywhere. He breaks all bows and spears and burns up chariots with fire. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be praised in all the nations. I will be praised throughout the earth." It is our job to share this good news so that indeed his name will be praised throughout the earth. Well, there's a weight of expectation in the invitation, "Come and see." It is an invitation that naturally builds our curiosity. How many times have we experienced something so unbelievable, and when we've tried to share that experience, words just escape us, and in our eagerness and in perhaps a little frustration, we'll say, "Well, just come. Come and see what happened." I know I can be like that. Well, there are many examples of this in Scripture. However, there are three stories about this in particular I'd like us to look at this morning. All three have the same message, but one is at the beginning of Jesus' life, one is at the beginning of his ministry, and the last one is at the time of his ascension into heaven. Interestingly enough, all three encounters happened while the people were at work. This is important. This tells me we need to be alert. Today may be the day Jesus has a word for me, an assignment, an important task he wants me to do. He doesn't wait until it's convenient for us to hear him more clearly. No, he speaks into our lives when he is ready. So we'd better be listening. So let's take a look at our first example, which is found in the second chapter of Luke, the familiar nativity story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds were the first in the life of Jesus to experience "come and see" effect that he had on people. Their encounter with Jesus came to them literally out of the blue. They weren't worshiping or praying or journaling. As far as we know, they were working. God is pursuing us in the everyday moments of life. Are we listening? Let's not miss those opportunities to hear from him. When the Spirit nudges us, are we available? Are we shutting out all of the noise and the distractions that keep us from hearing his voice? Let's consider applying that discipline of practicing being in the presence of God at all times. Well, the second come and see moment is recorded in all four Gospels. John the Baptist has just baptized Jesus and made it very clear that Jesus must become greater and John lesser. John knew he wasn't the Messiah, yet he knew that his role was the voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." I can't think of a more beautiful example of someone fully accepting his divinely appointed role in life. Jesus was number one, and John knew that. He knew that was not his place. He was, however, willing and available to baptize Jesus, something that took John far out of his comfort zone. This extraordinary event was very public. People had gathered to be baptized by John, and they were witnesses to the miracle that occurred right after Jesus was baptized. Scripture tells us that a dove descended, and a voice from heaven said, sounding like thunder, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." We pick up the story in John 1, starting with verse 36. The next day, John was standing with two of his followers, and Jesus walked by. When John saw him, he said, "Look, see, God's Lamb." The two followers heard what John said, so they went after Jesus. Jesus turned, and he saw them coming after him. And he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Teacher, where do you live?" "Well, that sounds kind of awkward to me." Have you ever said something borderline goofy when you are nervous and you really don't know quite what to say? Well, Jesus graciously responds, "Come and see." They went and saw the place where Jesus was staying. The time was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they stayed with Jesus the rest of the day. Andrew was one of those two followers of John who heard John speak and went after Jesus. He was Simon Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did then was to find his brother Simon. He said, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. Your name will be Cephas." And Cephas means Peter, the rock. All four Gospels place this story not by the Jordan River where John was baptized, but rather by a lake where the men were fishing. Jesus calls them to come and see while they are at work. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not the only place where he may call us, but it is significant in that it is an ordinary place. The point is, we need to be listening. If you ever have a come and see experience, you can expect that there will be a change in your life. Jesus had this effect on people throughout the New Testament. When he would encounter people, either by personally interacting with them or by teaching publicly, lives were changed, and people couldn't help but want to go and tell. Well, this was particularly true when Jesus met the woman at the well, our third come and see moment, which is recorded in John's Gospel. In John 4, we read this very interesting story about an ostracized Samaritan woman who unknowingly encounters the Messiah. Had she known who she was talking to, I'm sure her demeanor and her interactions would have been very different. But because she didn't know who he was, she was very bold and almost brazen in her questions and conversation. She clearly had no filters. This story starts with Jesus needing a break. The Pharisees were looking for ways to entrap him, trying to make a case against him. So this is where we pick up the story in John 4, starting at verse 3. Then Jesus went from Judea to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. He was near the piece of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from traveling, so he sat down just as he was by the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to get water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His followers had gone to the town to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "Well, you are a Jew, and I am from Samaria. Why do you ask me for a drink when the Jews have nothing to do with the people of Samaria?" It's at this point a very interesting conversation begins. There is so much to unpack here. Their conversation almost has the tone of bantering. Jesus says to her, "You don't know who is asking for a drink. If you knew, you would have asked him for water." The woman speaks very practically and says, "Well, you have nothing with which to draw water. Are you greater than Jacob? It was his well, after all." Jesus begins closing in and says, in effect, "Let's not talk about water anymore, because whoever drinks this water will thirst again. Let's talk about living water. The kind of water that lasts forever." Intrigued, the woman says, "Sir, give me this water, then I'll never have to come here again." And now Jesus touches upon the real reason for her drawing water at midday, not in the cool of the morning as the other women did. He says, "Go and call your husband and then come back." Her reply is simple, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "That's true. You have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." The next thing the woman says is priceless. Verse 19 says, The woman said to him, "Sir, I think you are a prophet." But then quickly she changes the subject and talks about everything other than her past. She talks about Jacob's well, where the Jews worship, where her people worship, and Jesus begins explaining it all to her, how things were in the past and how a time is coming when things will be different. He explains that worship will no longer be confined to a specific temple or a place or a mountain, that we will all worship God in spirit and in truth. This just might be too much for her, and she tries to kind of dismiss him and say, "Well, right, when the Messiah comes, he'll explain everything, so basically, I don't have to think about it right now." And then Jesus drops a bomb, and he says, "I am the Christ, the Messiah, the one talking with you." Immediately, the woman left her water jar and went into town. She said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" They went out of town and came to him. There's so much that we can learn from this encounter. Their conversation was real, down to earth. She had questions and she needed answers. The more she asked, more was revealed to her. Her life was a wreck. She probably felt shame and fear, not really knowing who this man was. Her defenses must have been up. She knew her life was a mess. But look at the one to whom she is speaking, Jesus, the Messiah, the one who takes our mess and makes us new by his shed blood. This is good news. She couldn't wait to go and tell. She was transformed and couldn't keep it to herself. Well, what has your experience with Jesus been like? Have you had a dramatic transformation? Or has your conversion been more gradual? Whether it's been dramatic or rather ordinary, the change that takes place is what counts. And there is nothing ordinary about that. Once we begin a relationship with Jesus, our life changes and we are set on a new path. Our experience with Jesus impacts our life story and motivates us to share the good news, to go and tell. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we can't give away something that we don't have. So the first thing that we need to do is draw close to God and strive to love others. The closer you draw to our Heavenly Father, the more his light and joy will shine through you. Others will notice and they will ask about it. Strive to emulate the love of Christ and have compassion for others. Love them and treat them as fellow children of our Heavenly Father. Remember the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. A couple of months ago, John shared a song with me that I just really can't get out of my head. When either of us needs a little reminder, we'll quote this line: "You don't love God if you don't love your neighbor." Like Jesus says, this sums up the law and the prophets. Secondly, share your story. In whatever way seems natural and normal to you, share with people why Jesus Christ is important to you. The woman at the well couldn't help herself. She had a first-hand encounter she couldn't keep to herself. She had to share her story. The beauty of sharing your story is that no one can dispute it. They can't argue against it. They can't deny it, because it's your story. So when you have an opportunity to share, your story, make it conversational. As your love for God deepens, you will be more committed in your faith walk. Talk with other believers about your faith. Get comfortable with it. And soon you will find that talking with others about your faith will be very normal and natural, just like it was for Coach Missoula. And don't ever enter a faith conversation with a defensive posture. Confrontation will not win souls. I've heard it said, you might win the argument, but you'll lose the person. Our primary goal is to be winsome, to bring people to Christ. Enter a faith conversation to love people, to listen to them, to share your story about how God changed your life. And then finally, trust the Lord to do the rest. It's not our job to convert people. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. Our role is to love God and to love our neighbors. And we are to be farmers. We plant seeds. God has given us seeds to plant. Let's make sure we do it. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but only God gives the growth. Demonstrate God's love by inviting friends, neighbors, strangers to come and see, to come and help, to come and belong. Everyone is carrying some kind of a burden. Even the most put-together people are in need of the Lord. God will work miracles through us to bless one another. If we are obedient, God will use us. Remember, not every encounter will automatically end with someone praying to receive Jesus. It may happen, but it may not. However, that person may be just a little bit closer than they were before your conversation. Remember, only God gives the growth. So let's not miss opportunities to go and tell. I've had plenty of missed opportunities, but the thing I've learned is this. God desires us to be obedient. When he nudges us to share the gospel, we should. Sharing the gospel is for his glory, but it's also for our benefit. If we don't share, he will find someone else who will. While we may have missed an opportunity, I know his purpose will still be accomplished. But let's not miss out on an opportunity to partner with God and sharing his good news. Let's be available. Let's trust that he is faithful and will give us the words. Let's go and tell. Amen. So let's go to our Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, how lovingly, Lord, you care for us. How generously you bring us in to your plan of salvation. And Lord, because you know each one of us, you give each of us unique opportunities to share your gospel. Lord, we thank you that you know us and you still love us. What a blessing that is, Father God. And I just pray that we will all be faithful, Lord, to share that good news with others. And Lord, as we pray this morning, there are so many things that can be weighing us down, Lord, concerns that we have. We think of Millie's daughter, Jackie, who has had really big surgery, and she's still in the hospital. Lord, we pray for continued healing for her, and that you will set a clear path for recovery, Lord, as she is still in the hospital. Lord, that you will sustain Millie and Jack as they go and visit and still have their responsibilities at home. Please just uphold that family, Lord God. And Lord, for others in our congregation who are hurting, who are suffering, Lord, who have deep needs, oh, Father God, we just ask that you will meet them where they are and show them that there is a way and that you will guide them, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit will comfort them. Lord God, I think of the kids today who are up at Pilgrim Pines for the Winter Jam Trailblazer Retreat. Lord, I just pray that they will have had a wonderful time, Father, learning about you and playing in the snow and eating good food and making new friends. And Lord, I just pray that as they wrap things up now, that hearts will be changed and that kids will come to a better understanding, Lord, of who you are. Thank you for Jessica and Glenn and their willingness to go on this retreat. I know it's not easy, but thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, and bring them home safely, Lord God. And Lord, we just look to this meeting that we have after church, Lord, as we go over the business of your church. Lord, may we be united and work together, Father God, for your glory. Thank you that we have people who are willing to serve. Equip us and help us, Lord God. And in our continued search, Lord God, for a pastor, we just pray for the search committee that you will just show them, Lord, help them, and that you will be touching the heart of the person you have selected for this church, that they will be ready and available when they are nudged by you. But in the meantime, Lord, we thank you so much for Gary and the good work that he does here, Lord. Thank you, Father, for his faithfulness, for the time that he puts into each message, Lord God. Continue to speak through him, Lord. We thank you for all of us, Lord, in this church. We love you. We thank you, Lord God. And we just ask now that you will bless us, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Let us now give back to the Lord, our Creator, the one who come here to worship today. Let us give him thanks. God, we give you all praise and thanks for all that is happening in our lives, all of the many blessings that we have, all that we can come before you today and give you thanks for. Father, we praise you and thank you. We give this to you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
you and keep you.